The air conditioning in the call center hummed like a dying engine. It was 3:12 a.m. The floor was a grid of gray felt walls and glowing monitors. Outside the hurricane-proof glass, the Caribbean night was heavy and wet. Inside, it was 60 degrees and smelled of stale coffee and ozone. Elias adjusted his headset. His ears ached. The caller from Nebraska was screaming about a charge he did not recognize. Elias stared at the script on his screen. The words blurred. He knew the charge. He knew the code. He had typed it in himself 4 hours ago. A hand landed on his shoulder. It was heavy, warm. "Doing great, boss," a voice whispered. It was Vance. "Just keep them talking. We need the retention numbers." Vance squeezed. It wasn't comfort. It was a clamp. Elias felt the blood slow in his arm. The friendly mask was on, but the eyes were dead. Chapter 1, The Cold Floor. The headset was a vice. It clamped the skull just above the ears. Elias sat in row 14, seat C. The fabric of the cubicle wall was gray and pockmarked with pinholes from previous occupants. Photos of children, schedules, prayers. All gone now. Just the holes remained. The screen in front of him blinked. A new call. "Thank you for calling Horizon Solutions," Elias said. His voice was automatic. It did not belong to him anymore. "My name is David. How can I help you today?" He was not David. He was Elias. He lived 3 miles away in a corrugated tin house that rattled when the wind blew off the ocean. But here in the freezing air of the call center, he was David from corporate. "My bill is wrong," the voice on the line snapped. "An older woman, American. I specifically said no upgrade," Elias typed. His fingers moved over the keys without thought. "I can certainly look into that for you, ma'am. One moment, please." He hit mute. He exhaled. The breath fogged in the cold air. The center kept the temperature low. They said it was for the servers. The workers knew it was to keep them awake, to keep them uncomfortable. He looked up. The floor was vast. 200 heads bowed in submission to the glowing screens. The hum of voices was a low, constant static. It sounded like insects in the bush before a storm. Mr. Vance walked the rows. Vance was the floor manager. He wore a suit that was too shiny and shoes that clicked on the linoleum. He was smiling. He was always smiling. That was the worst part. Vance stopped at row 12. He leaned down. He whispered to a girl named Sarah. Sarah nodded. Her shoulders shook. She was crying. Vance patted her back. It looked gentle. It looked like a father comforting a child. Then he walked away, and Sarah put her headset back on. She typed faster. Elias unmuted his line. "Thank you for holding. I see the discrepancy." He fixed the bill. He took the abuse. He closed the ticket. 7 minutes, he whispered to himself. Too long. His average handle time was slipping. If it slipped too far, he lost the weekend shifts. If he lost the weekend shifts, he could not pay his rent. The screen flashed. Another call. He took it, then another, then another. At 5:45 a.m., the floor grew quiet. The lull before the morning rush in the States. Elias rubbed his eyes. The fluorescent lights buzzed overhead. They were brighter now, or maybe his eyes were just weaker. Elias. He jumped. Vance was there, leaning on the cubicle wall. The smile was in place, teeth white, eyes flat. "Mr. Vance," Elias said, "I'm pushing the handle time down, I promise." Vance waved a hand. A gold ring flashed on his pinky finger. "Relax, boss, relax. You're doing fine. Solid numbers, reliable." Vance pulled a chair from the empty cubicle next door. He spun it around and straddled it. He sat close, too close. Elias could smell his cologne. It smelled like expensive musk and cigarettes. "I need a favor," Vance said. His voice was low, intimate. "We have a special client, high priority. Need someone smart on this, someone who doesn't panic." Elias felt a cold knot in his stomach. Special clients usually meant angry clients or complicated scripts. "I can take it," Elias said. "Is it a retention cue?" "Something like that," Vance said. He reached into his jacket pocket. He pulled out a folded piece of paper. It was yellow legal pad paper, handwritten. "This is a list, 10 names, 10 numbers. They are in the system as leads, but the data is incomplete." Vance slid the paper across the desk. It sat next to Elias's keyboard. "I need you to verify the CVV codes," Vance said. "The system glitch wiped them. We just need to call, confirm the 3 digits on the back, and update the file. Simple." Elias looked at the paper. Just names, no account numbers. "Sir, we aren't supposed to take CVV codes over the phone," Elias said. "The compliance training says..." Vance laughed. It was a soft, dry sound. "Compliance is for the day shift, Elias. Compliance is for people who don't need to make quota. This is manual entry, override mode. I authorized it. Vance leaned in. His face was inches from Elias. The smile didn't move, but the eyes hardened. You like this job, Elias? Yes, sir. You like the air conditioning? The steady check? Yes, sir. Sarah didn't like it, Vance said. Sarah had a problem with compliance, too. She's going home early today, maybe for good. The threat hung in the freezing air. It was not shouted. It was not angry. It was just a fact, like the temperature. It's just 10 numbers, Vance said. Help me out. I help you out. Next month, maybe you get that supervisor bump. Get off the phones. Walk the floor. Supervisor. The word was a golden ticket. No more screaming customers. No more timer. Just walking. Elias looked at the yellow paper. 10 names. Just verify, Elias asked. Just verify, Vance said. Use script 4, the security audit script. Tell them we detected a login attempt and need to secure the account. Is that true? Vance stood up. The chair scraped against the floor. Truth is what the customer believes, Elias. Do the list. Bring it to my office when you're done. Do not log it in the main CRM. Write the codes on the paper. Vance walked away. The click of his shoes faded into the static hum of the room. Elias sat alone. The screen glowed blue. The paper sat yellow and bright. He picked up the paper. The first name was Robert J. Miller, a number in Ohio. Elias put his hand on the mouse. He hovered over the dialer. He looked at the time, 6:10 a.m. The sun would be rising outside soon. The heat would be building. He keyed in the number. The line rang once, twice. Hello, a sleepy voice, an old man. Good morning, Mr. Miller, Elias said. This is David from the security department. We have detected some unusual activity on your account. The lie tasted like copper in his mouth. Oh God, the old man said. Is my money safe? We can secure it right now, sir, Elias said. He looked at the empty cubicle where Sarah had sat. He looked at the camera in the ceiling, a black dome that saw everything. I just need to verify the 3 digits on the back of your card. The old man gave him the numbers. Elias wrote them down. The ink looked dark on the yellow paper. 1 down, 9 to go. He felt the cold air seep into his bones. He wasn't just cold anymore. He was numb. He dialed the second number. Chapter 2, The Friendly Squeeze. The break room smelled of burnt popcorn and despair. It was a windowless box tucked behind the server racks. The walls were painted a cheerful yellow that had faded to the color of a nicotine stain. Elias stared into his coffee. The liquid was black and thin. It rippled every time the heavy door opened. He had finished the list. 10 names, 10 codes. The yellow paper was folded in his pocket, burning against his thigh like a hot coal. Marcus sat across from him. Marcus had been at Horizon for 5 years. He had the 1,000-yard stare of a man who had apologized for things he didn't do for half a decade. He was eating a sandwich wrapped in foil. He chewed slowly, looking at the table. You look heavy, Elias, Marcus said. He didn't look up. Just a long night, Elias said. Vance has me on a special project. Marcus stopped chewing. The foil crinkled in the silence. He looked up. His eyes were red-rimmed. Yellow paper? Elias froze. He didn't answer. He didn't have to. Marcus put the sandwich down. He leaned over the table. His voice dropped to a whisper, barely audible over the hum of the vending machine. Give it back. It's just data verification, Elias said. He was trying to convince himself. Security audit. It's a bleed out, Marcus hissed. That's what they call it. They bleed the accounts dry before the banks wake up in New York. Small hits first, then the drain. Elias felt the room tilt. How do you know? Sarah did a list last week, Marcus said. She thought she was getting a bonus. Yesterday, she saw a charge on her own mother's statement from a shell company in Tortola. She tried to ask Vance about it. Vance sent her home, Elias said. Vance sent her away, Marcus corrected. You don't just go home when you know the math, Elias. The door swung open. The noise of the call floor rushed in, a wave of chatter and ringing phones. Vance stood in the doorway. He wasn't smiling this time. He was watching them. His gaze flicked from Marcus to Elias. He checked his watch. Break's over, gentlemen, Vance said. Elias, grab your things. We're moving you. Elias stood up. His legs felt wooden. Moving me? Floor is too loud, Vance said. For the work you're doing, need focus. I put you in the quiet room. Marcus looked down at his sandwich. He didn't say goodbye. He knew better than to make eye contact with the chosen. Elias walked back to row 14. He gathered his bag. He unplugged his headset. The other workers didn't look up. They were drowning in the queue. Vance led him to the back of the building, past the restrooms, past the fire exit that was alarmed and barred. There was a glass door with no handle, just a keypad. Vance punched in a code. Beep, click. The room inside was small, freezing. It held four terminals separated by high privacy glass. Only one other station was occupied. A guy Elias didn't know. The guy was typing furiously, sweat beating on his forehead despite the cold. Sit, Vance said. He pointed to the corner station. Elias sat. The chair was leather, not mesh. The monitor was wider. The computer hummed with a different pitch. It was faster, newer. Log in, Vance said. New credentials, user admin ghost, pass payday. Elias typed it in. The desktop loaded. There was no company wallpaper, no Horizon logo, just a black screen with a single window open. It was a terminal interface, green text on black. This is the direct pipe, Vance said. He put a hand on the back of Elias's chair. He leaned in. No scripts here. You see the data raw. We buy the leads in bulk. Your job is to unlock them. Unlock them? The yellow paper was the test, Vance said. You passed. You have a good voice. Trustworthy. Now we do the real work. Vance reached past Elias and tapped the enter key. Rows of data cascaded down the screen. Names, addresses, social security numbers, bank routings. It wasn't just Horizon customers. It was everything. A database of stolen lives. We act as the bank, Vance whispered. You call the mark. You tell them there's a fraud alert. You verify the identity. You get them to read back the one-time password sent to their phone. You type it here. He pointed to a blinking cursor field labeled 2FA bypass. Once you enter the code, we own the session, Vance said. We transfer the balance, clean. Elias stared at the screen. This wasn't gray area. This wasn't a compliance violation. This was a felony, multiple felonies, international wire fraud. I can't, Elias said. The words came out strangled. Vance's hand tightened on the chair. The leather creaked. You already did, Vance said. 10 counts, documented, recorded. Your voice on the tape, your handwriting on the paper. Vance pulled his phone from his pocket. He swiped the screen and held it up. It was a photo, a grainy shot taken from a distance. It was Elias's house, the tin roof, the small porch. Elias's sister was sitting on the steps, braiding her hair. Safe neighborhood? Vance asked. Hard to tell these days. Lots of break-ins. The blood drained from Elias's face. The cold in the room suddenly felt like the bottom of the ocean. The pressure was immense. She's 12, Elias whispered. She looks happy, Vance said. He put the phone away. Keep her happy. Keep the checks coming. We pay double in this room, Elias. Cash bonuses, no taxes. Vance straightened his suit jacket. Shift ends at 6. I want 20 conversions. That's the quota. 20 unlocks. He walked to the door. He paused at the keypad. Oh, and Elias. Elias didn't turn. He stared at the green cursor blinking on the black screen. Don't try the internet, Vance said. Internal network only. And the door locks from the outside. The door clicked shut. The magnetic lock engaged with a heavy thud. Elias was alone in the glass box. The other guy in the room didn't look up. He was muttering into his headset, reading a script about a compromised routing number. Elias put the headset on. It felt heavier now. He looked at the first name on the screen, Catherine P. Lewis. Balance, $42,000. He felt sick. He felt trapped. He looked around the room. There were no windows, only the glass wall facing the corridor. Beyond that, the dark call center floor. But high up on the back wall, there was a ventilation slit. And through the slats, he could see a sliver of the parking lot. The street lamp cast a sickly orange glow on the wet asphalt. He squinted. There was a car parked directly under the light. A black sedan, engine running, exhaust puffing into the humid night air. The windows were tinted, but the silhouette was clear. Two men in the front, facing the building, facing the exit. They weren't waiting for a pickup. They were sentries. Elias looked back at the screen. The green cursor blinked. 2FA bypass. He realized then that the friendly managers weren't just pushing the line. They had erased it. He wasn't an employee anymore. He was an accomplice. And accomplices didn't get to quit. He pressed the dial button. Hello, Mrs. Lewis? Elias said. His voice trembled, then smoothed out. Survival instinct took over. This is the fraud department. We need to verify a transaction. He typed. He listened to the fear in the woman's voice. He fed off it because it was the only thing keeping him alive. 20 conversions. He had to get 20. but as he typed, his right hand moved to his pocket. He touched the yellow paper. He felt the sharp edge of a pen he had stolen from the supply closet. He looked at the command line on the screen. It was a Linux-based shell. He knew a little bit about Linux. He knew that every system had a log, and he knew that if he was going down, he needed a parachute. He finished the call. Success. The money moved. 19 to go, he whispered. He started the next call, but while he spoke, his fingers didn't just type the codes. He opened a second terminal window, minimalized, hidden behind the black box. He started typing a command. Trace wrote, he needed to know where the money was going. If he could find the destination, maybe he could find a way out, or maybe he could find a weapon. The door beeped. Elias minimized the window instantly. Vance walked in, holding a tray of coffees. Hydration team, keep the energy up. He set a cup down next to Elias. Good start, Elias. I saw the transfer. Smooth. Vance smiled. It was the smile of a man who owned everything in the room. Drink up, Vance said. It's going to be a long night. Elias took the coffee. It was hot. He looked at the black sedan outside. He looked at the code on his screen. He wasn't going to just survive the night. He was going to break the machine. Or he was going to die typing. Chapter 3, Dead Air. The clock on the wall read 5:48 a.m. 12 minutes to shift change. The sun would be breaking the horizon over the cane fields soon. Inside the quiet room, the air was still freezing. Elias typed the final command. He wasn't a hacker. He didn't know how to rewrite the kernel or scrub the logs, but he knew how the call center worked. He knew the system was a house of cards built on cheap bandwidth and pirated software. He had spent the last hour routing the traffic from his terminal back into the local gateway. A loop, a feedback stream. He targeted the main SQL database where Vance kept the gold script leads. The other guy in the room, the stranger, was still droning on about a wire transfer. Elias hit enter. For 3 seconds, nothing happened. The cursor blinked. Then the fan in the corner tower revved up. It sounded like a jet engine. The screen flickered. The green text froze. Across the glass partition, the stranger stopped talking. Hello? He tapped his headset. System is down, sir. The lights in the room surged brighter then dimmed. The hum of the air conditioning faltered. The door to the quiet room buzzed. The magnetic lock disengaged. Not because someone opened it, but because the security system had rebooted in fail-safe mode. Vance burst in. He wasn't smiling. The mask was gone. His face was a mask of red fury. He looked at the stranger's black screen. He looked at Elias. What did you do? Vance hissed. Elias stood up. He shoved his chair back. It hit the wall with a loud crack. Power surge, Elias said. Must be the storm. Vance lunged. He was fast for a man in a cheap suit. He grabbed Elias by the collar. He slammed him against the glass wall. The partition shook. You think I'm stupid? Vance shouted. You think you can play games with this money? Elias saw the fear in Vance's eyes. It wasn't fear of Elias. It was fear of the people who owned the black sedan outside. Vance was just a middleman. If the money stopped, Vance stopped breathing. The logs are corrupted, Elias lied. His voice was shaking, but his hands were up, defensive. If you kill me, you can't fix it. I know the override. Vance hesitated. His grip loosened just an inch. That was enough. Elias drove his knee up, hard. He didn't aim for the groin, he aimed for the stomach. Vance doubled over, gasping. The air left his lungs in a wet wheeze. Elias didn't wait. He shoved Vance aside. He ran for the door. He hit the corridor. The main call center floor was in chaos. 200 screens were black. Agents were standing up, taking off headsets, murmuring. The supervisors were shouting for order. It was a riot of confusion. Elias kept his head down. He moved toward the back, toward the fire escape. Stop him! Vance's voice echoed from the doorway of the quiet room. He was on his knees, pointing. Security, stop that man! Two guards by the main exit turned. They saw Elias. They started running. They were big men, local muscle. They didn't carry guns inside, but they carried batons. Elias didn't go for the main doors. He turned left. He slammed into the crash bar of the emergency exit. The alarm shrieked, a piercing mechanical wail that cut through the noise of the floor. The door flew open. The heat hit him like a physical blow. The humidity was 100%. The air smelled of wet asphalt and rotting vegetation. Elias stumbled out onto the metal landing. He was on the second floor. The stairs zigzagged down to the alley behind the building. He scrambled down the metal steps. His shoes slipped on the wet grate. He heard the door bang open above him. The guards were coming. He hit the ground. He was in the alley. Puddles of oily water reflected the sodium lights. He ran. He didn't run toward the street. He ran toward the fence line where the call center property met the overgrown scrubland. If he could get into the bush, he could disappear. A siren wailed. Blue lights flashed against the brick wall of the building. Elias skid to a halt behind a dumpster. A police cruiser tore around the corner. It screeched to a stop next to the black sedan under the street lamp. Relief flooded Elias's chest. The police. He could tell them. He could show them the yellow paper in his pocket. He could get protection for his sister. He stepped out from behind the dumpster. He raised his hands. "Help," he shouted. "Officer, over here." The door of the cruiser opened. A uniformed officer stepped out. He was tall, wearing sunglasses even in the dark pre-dawn. The officer didn't look at Elias. He looked at the black sedan. The back window of the sedan rolled down, an arm extended, a hand holding a thick white envelope. The officer walked over. He took the envelope. He tapped the roof of the sedan, a friendly gesture, a partner's gesture. Then the officer turned toward Elias. He didn't reach for his radio. He reached for his holster. Elias felt the world stop. The gravity of the realization crushed him. There was no cavalry. There was no law. The blue lights weren't there to arrest the criminals. They were the security detail. The officer raised the gun. Elias didn't think. He threw himself sideways, back behind the steel bulk of the dumpster. Crack! The bullet sparked off the brick wall inches from his head. The sound was deafening in the narrow alley. "He's behind the bin," the officer shouted. "Flush him out!" Elias scrambled on his hands and knees. The mud soaked his trousers. He crawled toward a hole in the chain-link fence, a jagged tear where the local dogs got in. He squeezed through. The metal wire tore his shirt. It sliced a line across his back. He didn't feel it. He tumbled down the embankment into the tall grass, the cane fields. He stood up and ran. The stalks whipped his face. The mud sucked at his shoes. He could hear shouting behind him. He could hear boots hitting the pavement. He ran until his lungs burned. He ran until the lights of the call center were just a glow in the mist behind him. He stopped at the edge of the ravine, 3 miles out. His chest heaved. He vomited bile into the dirt. He reached into his pocket. He pulled out his phone. His hands were shaking so hard he almost dropped it. He dialed his sister. "Hello." Her voice was sleepy. "Smullius, you're home early?" "Listen to me," Elias rasped. He looked back at the city. The sun was rising now, a blood-red streak across the gray water. "Get up. Get your bag. Do not turn on the lights." "Elias, you're scaring me." "Go to Auntie's house in the village," Elias said, tears mixed with the sweat on his face. "Go through the back way. Don't stop. Don't tell anyone where you are going." "Where are you?" "I can't come home," Elias said. "Not for a long time." "Elias, what did you do?" "I did the job," he whispered. He hung up. He pulled the SIM card out of the phone. He snapped it in half. He threw the pieces into the ravine. He looked at the yellow paper in his other hand. The list of names, the codes, the evidence. It was damp with sweat. The ink was running. He crumpled it up. He couldn't go to the police. He couldn't go to the news. They owned the news too. He was a ghost now. Far away, back toward the industrial park, the lights of the call center flickered. Then they stabilized. The glow returned. Strong. Steady. The system had rebooted. The morning shift was logging in. The calls were starting again. Elias turned his back on the light and walked into the deep bush.